what do you do with that information? What do you do with the realities that interest rates have risen? What do you do with the information that material pricing is likely going to continue to rise and it's probably not coming down? What do you do with the information that the resale market may or may not soften from a price standpoint? Maybe it slows. You would think that that would have some impact on price. Welcome back to the Spruce Home Show, your local podcast that talks all things custom home building. Things to be aware of, things to expect, and things to take note of. Thanks for tuning in. Let's go. Alrighty, welcome back everybody. Welcome back to what is now episode number 38 of the Spruce Home Show. So thanks for joining along. Thanks for following us. Thank you for listening. It feels like it's been a while for me sitting here in front of the mic. For those of you who don't know, most of you probably don't know, we typically batch record these. So we try and sit down and do a few episodes at one time just from a time efficiency standpoint. So it's actually been about a month before it's been about a month since I've actually done one, but we are officially into December, and this is my favorite time of the year. Christmas season is the best. I absolutely love it. I love everything about it. It's like winter is new still, so you're not sick of it yet, and we just got snow, what was it, a few days ago, so had to officially do like the first two big snow moves around the house, getting snow cleared and everything. So, but it's not old yet. You know what I mean? Like, you don't mind actually getting out and doing it yet because you're not sick and tired of it. We obviously got a really nice fall and now the weather's turning, but same thing. It's new. Like, I don't mind the cold. I'm not a huge fan of it lasting for so long, but in the month of December, again, you're not over it yet. Like, you're still okay with it. You get to go and do the winter outdoors things again for the first time of the year. And it's all just fun. And then obviously the decorations and your house gets feeling a little more cozy than it does the rest of the year with all the Christmas decor and buying gifts and the family time around Christmas. And we actually take off as a company. We take off, actually, to be honest, most of the residential construction industry takes off between Christmas and New Year's. So it's just it seems to be a little hectic. I will say that in the past couple of years, Caitlin has done all of the Christmas shopping, and the last couple of years she's done it all in the month of November. So that has seemed to help with the busyness of December. I think online shopping probably just did that in general. But anyway, happy December. Today I wanted to jump on and I wanted to talk about the state of the construction market in general, talking about pricing, where we see things going. It's kind of up in the air right now, and it's a very common topic of conversation. It seemed like a year and a half ago-ish, again, that was the very big topic of conversation while pricing was going hog wild and everything seemed to be just going up, 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 and it was almost hockey sticking. And then that topic of conversation maybe over the last year has mellowed down as people's expectations have just become like, well, prices are high and it is what it is. It seems like there was this constant chatter and maybe it's just mellowed, but it seems to be picking up again. And I think for the most part that is media driven from the fear around interest rates and a looming recession or market pullback or whatever it's going to become. Maybe we're in it already. I don't even know. So I just wanted to kind of get on here and break down what we're seeing, what we're hearing, what we're experiencing, and just relay that message and hope that there's some information in here that you can actually use and make it more, a little more practical and localized. I think one of the downsides of just looking or watching or hearing the media is a lot of it that we hear is taken from a broad context across the country, and it doesn't necessarily get localized maybe even to Western Canada, maybe even to the province, but certainly not to the city of Saskatoon. So I thought I would just break a few things down, let you guys know my thoughts, what I'm hearing, and then you can use that as you may. So I think the first thing to talk about is maybe the elephant in the room, which is interest rates. Obviously, interest rates have been utilized by the Bank of Canada as a way to try and slow inflation down. It really got out of hand, which is really where pricing went all crazy over the last, like I said, maybe a year and a half ago is where it seemed like it really went nuts. And I guess maybe to just back up a little bit, the overarching reasons why the market and pricing in residential construction specifically went hog wild was really because almost everybody was just purely wrong about the impacts of COVID. Everyone assumed that that's when the recession was going to come. But what ended up happening is that there was excess cash either that went into the market from the government or that people had sitting in their banks because they were just spending less, they were traveling less, they were eating out less, they were just doing less. Everyone was obviously stuck in their house more. And so there was just excess cash to go around, which meant that cash, it just got spent in different ways. And a lot of that did go into housing and it got reallocated locally instead of maybe booking air flights and stuff like that. And so because those prices skyrocketed, then that obviously impacted the entire economy. It impacted groceries, fuel, really everything. Like all of our cost of living has increased over the last couple of years. And the Bank of Canada was like, this cannot continue to happen. And the Bank of Canada is really the one in charge of managing inflation. But I think that's an important point to make, is that it's their job to manage, or at least they see it as their job to manage inflation. They don't see it as something to eliminate or make negative. I think it is important to know that inflation, the target inflation every year is on average about 2%. That's what they want. They want things to consistently become more expensive over time. And it's a deep conversation on why that is and whether it's right, wrong, or otherwise. It doesn't really matter because it is what it is and that's reality. But it's been way beyond 2%. It's been more in that 8-9% across the board. Again, that's speaking from a broad sense. I'm not 100% sure what it's been in Saskatchewan recently, but the last number that I heard was last year when it was, I think, 8.8.5% roughly across the country. Saskatchewan was under 4. It was like 3.5 or 3.75 or something like that. So we haven't been in as bad of an inflationary position as maybe the rest of the country, but there certainly is things in our market that have went up substantially also. I mean, everybody goes to the grocery store and you buy the same basket of goods and you're shocked at how much the end bill is. Everybody goes and fills their vehicle up with gas, and it seems like that has just went up and up and up. Obviously, the cost of construction has went up. The cost of housing has went up. And interest rates, the intent is as interest rates rise, that people will borrow less money, which means that they'll buy less things, certainly less expensive things, with the idea that as people spend less, prices will come down. So that's the idea of it. It has had an impact, certainly. The resale market in Saskatoon has slowed. That, I don't think it's had a huge impact on pricing yet. And the reason is because our inventory is still low. There's still relatively speaking, not that many houses listed for sale. So because of that, people are still going to, it doesn't matter what the market does, people are still going to buy houses. Less people will buy houses, but there's still people out there buying houses. But if less people are also selling their houses, that equilibrium is still going to happen, and there's not going to be this dramatic price fluctuation. It may take longer to sell a house. But you also will have less options when you're buying a house. And so that equilibrium seems to have kind of stood firm, at least for now in Saskatoon. So although the resale market has slowed and maybe there's not as many people offering full ask or over ask, and there may not be bidding wars at this point in time, the price of houses has stayed relatively stable. And if it continues to trend the way that it is right now, there just likely is not going to be this massive softening of prices of existing homes. And I guess that kind of brings us to the new construction side. Obviously, resale homes and new homes are linked. Their prices are linked. They're not exact. It's not like just because resale houses are going to fall in price, that does not mean new construction is going to fall in price and vice versa. But they're obviously correlated. If somebody can get a great deal on a resale house, then they're likely going to go that route instead of building new, and vice versa. But one of the realities is that the prices of new construction are not going down. In fact, they're doing the opposite. They are likely going to continue to climb, which may sound surprising. At first, it was to me too. I've talked to most of our suppliers and trades, and the consensus is that it's going to continue to climb. For example, like windows and doors are expected to climb 3-5% in the new year. Framing, like the cost of framing has definitely went up, the labor itself. Siding materials, James Hardy is expected to go up 6-10% in the new year, depending on the material. And that seems to be the ongoing conversation, is those types of numbers, that 3-5%, which is not uncommon. If you back up before COVID, it was a lot of suppliers did an automatic, in January every year, did an automatic inflationary price increase, normally in that 2-5% range. That was just the way that it was. And again, that's to keep up with inflation that the Bank of Canada targets every single year. So things are just automatically going to get expensive all the time. What was not common was the 20% increase that James Hardy had last year. Or what was not common was the basically doubling of the cost of a lumber package to build your house. Those were not common things. There was a massive increase in roofing materials. Basically, everything across the board was just skyrocketing, and a lot of times with like very little heads up or warning. Those times, I think, are gone. But the constant annual inflationary increases, we're just going to go back to what was normal before. And I think that's important to note, is if you're sitting on the sidelines, assuming that the cost of new construction is going to kind of fall through the floor, and you're going to be able to take advantage of that, whether it be in 6 months or 18 months or whatever it is, I just don't think that that's going to happen. I think that the materials are going to continue to rise. And if you're on the fence of whether to build now or not, just keep that in mind, that if you do sit on the sidelines for a few years, things are going to be more expensive than they are now. And the other piece of the puzzle when you think about new construction is labor. I think everybody knows that, traditionally speaking, wages always increase slower or are at least lagging behind pricing. If the economy's going crazy and inflation's happening, wages always lag. That's just what happens. They just never keep up. And so I'm curious to see, I don't have an answer on this. I know I've talked to a couple of guys who do anticipate labor increasing in 2023 for that reason, is that maybe there was no labor increases yet, but now their staff are maybe feeling it when they go to the grocery store and they go to fill up their tank of gas. And so I know I can tell you that our septic supplier said he's having a really difficult time finding installers. And so those lend themselves to increased labor. So are we going to see that across the board? Is it going to be this big shift? Likely not. Like, it's probably on an entire house, maybe not going to be super noticeable, but that it is just something added. Do I think that it's going to go down? Maybe it does depend what the rest of the market does. What happens in the commercial industry? Because the commercial industry, from a labor standpoint, impacts the residential industry, because there is some crossover back and forth between labor of those two worlds. So do I think it's going to have a massive impact one way or the other? No, I don't. But it is potential for added costs into 2023 for sure. And the other thing to remember is that from a labor standpoint, a lot of times, like, it doesn't go backwards. Once a wage goes from $25 an hour to $28 an hour, it has a really difficult time from an industry-wide perspective going back to 25. It's just once you cross that threshold, it doesn't really go back. It's not like material has some more fluctuation. If the cost of goods goes down, the cost of that material, of the finished good, can go down. It's just not really like that with labor. Once you cross that threshold, it doesn't really go back. So that's something that could impact into the future. And I think other things are just things to watch out and be leery of. Do I think that there is a overall slowdown coming in the construction world? Yes, I do. And I think to believe that it's just going to be soaring to the moon forever is naive. There's such thing as business cycles. There's such thing as market cycles. It just happens. There's highs, there's really busy times, and there's troughs, there's slower times for every single market. I don't care what you're in. That is just the nature of the beast. I don't care what you sell. So for people to think that there's not a slowdown coming in some form or fashion, I think is just silly. But as a consumer, you do need to be weary and pay attention in those times. Can you maybe take advantage of a couple things, get some deals, yada, yada, yada? Can you get some things done quicker? Yeah, of course. I think that I would be naive if I were not to say that that were the case. But I think from a consumer standpoint, there's some things to watch out for too. Remember that you always get what you pay for. And I think that as things do slow down a little bit in the construction world, there's going to be price battles. There's going to be people who will do it for $1,000 less than the next guy, or $100 less for the next guy. And there is going to be this cutting of their own knees type thing, where there's going to be some people that do what they need to get work. But that's what you need to watch out for, is because there's either going to be a quality issue. Maybe there's not going to be the inclusions aren't going to match. I think that's one thing to really pay attention for. And that's specific to home building, is that if you're going to get quotes from two different builders, make sure that they're apples to apples. Especially in a custom home, there's thousands of details within that house. So honestly, if there's two builders and they're within $10,000, that's basically the same thing. Like, it's really close. So what does that include? Like, if somebody's $10,000 cheaper, do they actually include everything? I can tell you that likely, if there's this drastic difference, there's something there that you're not seeing. There's something that you are assuming is going to get done that is not, or it's not going to get included, or that's going to be an extra. There's going to be a change order. Make sure that everything makes sense. I can tell you that there's a perfect example. This was pre-COVID. We bid on a house. We did not get it. And we were told up front, we knew we were one of three. And after we were actually, they actually told us what each person's price was. And we were the highest, but barely. They ended up going with the lowest. So they gave us all the specs. Us and the second highest, so the middle one, we were within like $3,000, I think. It was very, very close. But the builder who ended up getting awarded the job was, I think, like $15,000 lower than both of us. Which actually didn't even seem that bad. I was like, okay, they might, maybe they do some things themselves, or they do things a little bit differently. Don't have any overhead yet. I didn't know until the house got built. I never saw the inside of the house, but I can tell you that there were two specific details on the outside of the house that were done differently than were drawn on the plans. And those two specific details almost made up the entire $15,000 difference. And those were even things that were questioned throughout the pricing process. So it was obvious that the builder who was awarded it priced it differently than the two of us that didn't. Because I would say that the two of us were so close that we likely did include the same things. But the person who won it, they built the house differently. And so that's something just to be leery of, is that if you are getting pricing from multiple people, it's going to be a process, but make sure that everything is included, because that's one of the, I'm going to call it a cut corner, but it's not, like, it doesn't have any impact on quality. So don't take it that way. But it's one way to make your price look better, is literally just not to include specific things that may not be a big deal in their eyes. So watch out for that. So that all being said, I mean, what do you do with that information? What do you do with the realities that interest rates have risen? What do you do with the information that material pricing is likely going to continue to rise and it's probably not coming down? What do you do with the information that the resale market may or may not soften from a price standpoint? Maybe it slows. You would think that that would have some impact on price, but in our province, where we're positioned differently than a lot of the country. If you look at what happened in the last time the Canadian market slowed, the Saskatchewan market didn't. A lot of the policies that the federal government puts in place is more revolving around the big city centers like Vancouver and Toronto, and they're really trying to slow those markets. But those markets are dependent on different economic factors than we are. Our province is propped up by mainly natural resources and commodities. And right now, those markets are doing really well. So let's just say that though that continues in the next year or two, and that continues to bring jobs to the area, well, those jobs need housing. So is that the resale market? Does that help hold the resale market pricing relatively stable? Does that mean that new construction continues to be busy? I don't know. And I do want to be really conscious in saying that that's not what this episode is about. I do not have a crystal ball. I will say that even most economists and meteorologists have the most secure jobs that there are, because they're never expected to be right. So I'm not trying to make predictions. I'm just trying to put information out there because I think that it's being talked about a lot, and hopefully that some of this information can at least maybe fill some of the gaps. So, but you do have to kind of make a decision, is, are you going to wait? Are you going to pull the trigger? Are you just going to make a whole different plan altogether? I can say that from a pure new construction standpoint, if I were to be in a scenario where it's like, okay, I'm going to build a house. I just don't know when. Do I hold off? Do I build now? What do I do? To be completely honest, I think that if I were in that scenario, I'd build now. And the two reasons are, well, three reasons, I guess. The first reason is that I believe the costs, the pure costs to build a house are going to be higher in 5 years or in 3 years than they are today. And so if you're holding off the pure construction costs, I think you're going to pay more for. The second thing that comes into play is interest rates. Admittedly, where interest rates are now and where they're projected, they are, I have read that there's possibly two more hikes coming in 2023. Well, that impacts construction financing, which means that the financing portion of the build will be more expensive. I personally believe that interest rates are going to rainbow, and they're going to, maybe they keep bumping up, but in a handful of years, they're going to come back down. I do not think they're going to come back down to where they were, but I do think they're going to rainbow. Again, I'm not an economist. I don't control the Bank of Canada. That's just my own personal belief. And so sure, it might be a little bit more expensive from a financing perspective now, but you can always refinance later, or you can lock in your interest rate for the short term. Maybe you do 1 or 2 year term with the hope or expectation that they do come down. So when you renew, your interest rates are lower. I could be wrong. Maybe they do stay where they're at, or maybe they do continue to get higher. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm just saying that if I were in someone's shoes, that's what I would do. And obviously I'm biased. We're home builders, so there's clear bias there. So take that with a grain of salt also. But I can tell you that from over the last few years, I've seen multiple people that we've worked with directly hold off that purely got priced out of the market, where if they would have built and kind of bit the bullet when they planned to and paid the extra $25,000, $50,000, even $100,000 more than they thought, they would have been in a better scenario than they were now, where they literally just got priced out. And now the house that they planned to build 3 years ago, it simply cost too much money. Now they've been burdened with the cost of construction and the cost of interest rates. So they're kind of getting doubled on now. So I think I'm biased from both of those scenarios. I'm biased from the fact that I am a home builder, and I'm biased from the fact that I've literally seen it over the last 3 years. People get priced out of the market because they waited. I'll also say that there's another podcast that I listen to pretty frequently. It's called The Build Show. And the gentleman that does that podcast is out of, I think, Austin, Texas. It's Texas for sure. I'm pretty sure it's Austin. And he's a builder who's been building for, I think, 25 years or something like that. He's built for a production builder, and then he built for a custom builder, and then he started his own custom building business. And he said that, I remember listening to a podcast a handful of months ago where he mentioned that there was, in his 25 years that he's been building, there's only been 2 years where the cost of construction decreased. And that was in the US during the 2007-08 recession, when everything just fell apart. And so his point was, the chances that you time the market right, where the cost of construction actually goes down, is unlikely. In his case, 2 years out of 25, I don't know what that is. It's under 10% of the years where the cost of construction actually went down. It's no different than timing the stock market. The chance that you time the bottom, or that you time the top, or you time some change in the market, is just, the chances are so small that you're just likely to miss an opportunity. And I guess coming back to that I did say three reasons. My third reason is depending on what your life stage is, you're missing out on opportunities and experiences and memories with possibly kids or grandkids. And to me, that's actually I've talked about it before, but it's a big part of custom building to me. It's a big part of why we do custom builds, is that we get to help create those spaces to create those memories in. I mean, we're coming up into Christmas, and designing a house for a family that has grandkids that always come for Christmas, like getting to design those spaces so that families can come together. And that's what your grandkids remember. Like those physical spaces are ingrained in your head forever. Like everybody remembers grandma's old like brown couch or their like orange shag carpet in the basement that you wrestled on at Christmas. Like you remember that. Those photos are in your mind forever. And that's one of the things that we really enjoy about building custom houses is that we get to help create those pictures that are going to be ingrained in people's minds forever. So that's obviously not a financial impact at all, but it is an impact. It's something to consider. I think it should at least be part, maybe a small part, but it should at least be part of the decision-making process a little bit. So anyway, I went longer than I meant to. I maybe rambled a little bit on a few things in the middle here, but I did just want to sit down and talk about what we're hearing, a little bit about my thoughts. Again, take them with a grain of salt, apply them to your own life. Everybody's scenario is different, and I totally understand that. If you guys want to talk more, feel free to reach out. I'm more than happy to give you kind of my two cents a little bit more, maybe on your specific scenario. I'm more than happy. I'm an open book. So, again, I don't know exactly where this thing is going. I wish I had a crystal ball and a lotto ticket, but I don't. But I do think that at least talking about it, giving you my perspective, we get to see this kind of thing every single day. So we're probably a little more in tune than a lot, simply because it's what we do every day. So with that, I'm going to end this thing. Hopefully you guys took some stuff away. Hopefully this helped. And I will see you next week on the next episode. Talk to you then. Bye.